Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
So let's go. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse number 9. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And we'll keep going from there. But he says, so my strength is made complete. So my power... When the Lord is talking about his strength, he's talking about the power in him, right? So the power of God on the inside of us is made perfect, or is made complete, is made manifest. It's revealed entirely. All of that is done, right? Is made perfect in weakness. So that's, and you know, and this is something important that the Lord desires for us to be able to be people that learn to depend on him for everything, right? To depend on him for everything. For every single thing, we boast in the fact that we cannot. We boast in the fact, in other words, our lives become, right, a boasting of the fact that we cannot because of the weakness, right, in us. But that boasting is there. The reason why a person can boast in their weaknesses is why? Because they have come to understand by revelation of the Spirit of God the exceeding greatness of the power that's on the inside of them now, right? Here's what he said. He said, "My grace is sufficient." So grace is everything that's freely given to us by God. Grace is everything that's freely been given to us. Everything that we have in God is sufficient for us, right? So it's more than enough for everything, right? "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory or boast in my infirmities," which is actually weaknesses, right? "I will boast in my weaknesses." But look at why. "That the power of Christ may rest on me," right? That doesn't mean there that we boast when we're sick. And that when we get sick, then that's when the power of God rests in us, right? It's just a poor translation, infirmity, right? It's just talking about weaknesses there. But the cool thing to see there is that the power of God may rest on me. In other words, that the power of God easily would work through, he was saying, through us, right? That the power of God easily works through us. So how does the power of God easily work through us? Where does our boasting come from, right? And our boasting, there's the one verse that says that my soul... It says, "My soul boasts in the Lord," he says. "My soul boasts in the Lord." So how is it that my soul boasts in the Lord, right? As you hear the Lord, right? As you're listening to his voice, the way we said in Deuteronomy 28, listening to the voice of the Lord your God, it says that you make your boast in the Lord. Your soul makes its boast in the Lord, right? Let me bring you somewhere. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6 and verse number 2. Let's look at that real quick. And just keep in the back of your mind what we just read there. He said that he would boast in his weakness that the power of God may rest on him, right? The power of God may rest on him. In Numbers chapter 6 and verse number 2, it says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them, when either a man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and from strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried," which I guess would be raisins, right? It says, "All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk," which is there, that's the peel, right? The peel of the grape. I forget what you call the outside of the thing, right? The outside of the grape, right? So let's go to verse number 5. It says, "All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come to his head until the days be fulfilled in which he separates himself to the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks," or the hair, which is kind of like unattended hair, right? Locks. "Of the hair of his head grow, all the days, it says that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. And it goes on to say, let's go ahead and read it in verse number 7. He shall not make himself unclean, it says, for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God, or the separation of his God, the consecration of his God is on his head. The separation of his God, or the consecration of his God, is upon his head. Now you'll remember, right? You'll remember in Judges. In Judges, there was a man, right, who was a Nazarite from his birth. Right. And in other words, that and when what his parents taught him was of his separation to God from his birth. Right. The Lord called him from his birth to be separate unto him. And one of the things that he kept was this very vow. Right. The vow that he would not cut. Right. Now, there were many other things, obviously, you read there that he couldn't do. Right. That Nazarite men, that men or women. And that's an important thing for us to understand. It wasn't just talking about men alone, but men or women that would take a Nazarite vow. The only external thing that is seen of that vow is the long hair, right? In locks, right? Everything else was about them keeping themselves clean and separate from the things that they ate, from the things that they came in contact to, but the only external thing was the hair. What you saw, right, the judge's name was Samson, right? Samson was called by God to be a judge over the Israelites. In other words, for him to be the head over them. For him to be the head over those people, right? And the one thing that you see over and over again, as and if you obviously the majority of us probably have heard some version maybe of Samson and Delilah, but the thing that he was holding back from her, if he were to cut or shave. Right, shave his head or cut his hair, it said that his strength would leave him. And I'll let me bring you there. Judges chapter 16, real quick, in verse number 17. Judges 16 and verse number 17. It says that he told her all that was in his heart. And said to her, this is speaking about Delilah, she has him, you know, constantly prodding him so that he would give up how he was so strong, right? He told her everything that was in her heart and said to her, there has not come a razor on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. He says, if I have been shaven, then my strength will go from me and I shall become weak and be like any other man. I'll become weak and be like any other man. The thing that Paul mentioned, right, is he said that he would boast in the Lord, right? That he would boast in the Lord so that the power of God would rest upon him. So that the power of God. Now, so the thing that Paul understood is that the power in his life, right? The power, the fruitfulness in his life all came from the Spirit of God in him. But that the covenant that man had was the covenant of his head, a covenant of his heart, right? Every single thing that man received, which is the supply of the Spirit of God within him, he received because he has a covenant of the heart with God. Right? A covenant of the heart with God. God said, the day shall come in Jeremiah 31 where I will put my commandments, I will put my law in their minds and in their heart, right? And they will be my people and I will be their God, right? The covenant that we have with God is a covenant of the heart, right? A covenant of the heart. And because of what Jesus has done, right? And the righteousness that he has given us, we have been made what? Holy, blameless, without a single fault in his sight. We don't have to obey all of these things or not that we're unclean because we touch a dead thing or that we can't drink wine because if you drink wine, you're unclean or all of these other things. Why? Because the righteousness, which is of keeping any external law, right? The righteousness of the law has already been fulfilled in us through what Jesus has done, right? So there isn't obedience, right? Just like a Nazarite had an obedience, so we do have an obedience, right? But what the Bible says is that we have obeyed from the heart. We have obeyed from the heart this gospel that we have heard. We have obeyed from the heart. Now, one of the things that you'll see is that what Pastor Mike was talking about up here earlier is that he was saying that people that lack the knowledge of obedience, in other words, when people lack obedience in their life, when people lack obedience, in other words, that they're disobedient because they don't look after, they don't listen to the Lord, right? In other words, the lack of obedience to the covenant of God, the lack of obedience to the covenant that we have with him, what is it that it does? It brings an absence of the power of God in your life. In other words, when you turn in your heart to the right or to the left, and you don't listen to the Lord, but instead you rely on yourself, right? And you lean on your own understanding, what happens? You see an absence, right? An absence of the power of God in your life. Why? Because everything that is of the power of God in the life, every single ounce of the supply of the Spirit in a believer's life can only come and will only ever come by what? By the hearing of faith, right? The hearing of faith is the only way. There is no other way that it comes, right? So the only way for us to be, and we've known this before, right? That the only way for us to be partakers of the divine nature on the inside of us, the only way that grace, which is everything that's freely given to us on the inside, is multiplied onto our lives is how? It's by the hearing of faith, right? Now what's this thing about hair? Right? What's this thing about hair and Samson? What's the thing about hair? Well, the thing that you see is that hair, right, is a show of what? Hair is a show that you are under a head, right? Hair is a show of a covering, that you are under a head, right? Jesus Christ is what? The head over the church. Jesus Christ is the head over the church. And it says that man is the glory of God. That man is the glory of God, and woman is the glory of man. And that woman, it says her hair, that hair is what? That hair is the glory, right? Is her glory, but it says that hair, right? The symbol of that hair is it says the power upon her head. The power upon her head, right? And all of that's showing there, right, is that because man is subject unto God, and in a relationship it says that woman is subject unto man, what happens? The power of God flows every single individual, right? And that's why that Nazarite vow is to a man or to a woman. Every single individual is submitted unto God, right? But here's what the beautiful thing is. Hair, that outward symbol that he had, right? Or the outward symbol of that Jewish custom was what? That people, men and women, are under the power of God, submitted to him who is the head, right? What is it that begins to bring issues in the lives of people when it says that they don't hold fast to him who is the head? When they don't hold fast to him who is in the head. What happened to Samson when she cut his hair? She came and cut the locks of his hair. What is it that happened? It says that he did not recognize when he woke up. And she said, the Philistines are coming. He woke up and didn't realize that what? Not that his hair was cut. That the Spirit of God had left him. That the Spirit of God had left him. The power was not in his hair. The power was in the Spirit of God that was with him, right? The power was in the Spirit of God that was with that man. But when all that his hair was a show of what? Of a Nazarite vow that he had. It was showing his separation unto God, right? That he had made a vow to be separate unto God, and his hair was a show of what? That he was under the power of God. Under the power of God. Another person that you remember that had the same vow was who? John the Baptist. John the Baptist worked in the power of God. His hair was what? His hair was a show of his Nazarite vow that he was separated unto the Lord. But so the thing to understand is why the head? Why the hair? And what you see is that, and actually in Judges right there, and I don't know if I can find it for you right this second, but in Judges, I'll see real quick if I can look for it. It's actually in Numbers where we were. If we can bring that up just real quick, Numbers 6:18 again, so you can see this. Number 618. And it says, and the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation. Look what it says. It says he will shave the head of his separation. Isn't that a unique way to say it? The head of his separation. He'll shave the head of his separation. It didn't say that he will shave the hair of his separation, the head of his separation. In other words, he was separated unto God, separate unto God. This is all that it is just a shadow of how we are separated unto God by our heart. Separate unto God by a covenant which is of the heart and not of works, right? A covenant which is of the heart and not of works. So if you see what the Lord is saying, he says, if you could depend on me for the supply of everything within you by listening to me, lean not on your own understanding, but in everything lean. Listen, there was a time when we were learning rest. resting in the Lord. But you know what? Some people can take that teaching and say, oh, God just wants us to do nothing. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do nothing. I'm just going to sit around and not do absolutely nothing. I don't desire the things of God, not desiring the things of the Spirit of God, not listening to the Lord, right, to be taught in order so that the Lord can glorify God in me, right? But instead, I'm just going to do nothing. I'm just going to sit around because God has given me rest. Therefore, I'm going to do nothing. That's nothing. That's just laziness, right? God is not talking about being lazy. God is not talking about it and has never said that he desires to do nothing in this world. He just desires that if his people are going to be judged, that his people would not be judged by a man, that if things are going to be done, that things would not be done by men, but that things would be done by him, that things would be done by God, and that as we listen, that we would always be doing what? Growing towards him who is the head. Listen, if we could see the way, it's similar to the way a relationship works in marriage, right? That the woman would see, that a woman can see that she is cared for and loved by her husband as Christ loves the church, right? That if she, the same way we would see that, right? The way God has set up authority, the way he has set up order in this world, that we would see the order of the things that he has done in our lives. In other words, that there are preordained, right, perfect things that God has for us to walk in, right? That there are things that God has prepared for us to walk in Christ, right? And that order can only happen. In other words, because here's what it is. People just think, you know, well, I have heard so much that God is good. Well, of course, if God is good, he wouldn't let this happen. And of course, if God is good, he wouldn't let that happen. And of course, if God is good, he's not going to let this happen to me and that happen to me. But there is an order to the things that God does. And the order of the things that God does comes from God the Father to the Son to the Spirit in you to your ears to then overflowing into your life, right? It cannot come if we negate the listening of the Spirit that we've been given, right? So if we just say, well, you know what? I'm just going to allow whatever will be, and I'm just going to be a Christian, and I'm just going to pray the sinner's prayer, and then I'm just going to let my life be whatever it's going to be. That God, the things of God never work like that. Listen, Samson knew enough to know this. Samson knew enough to know this. The only way that I can do what God has called me to do is to rely on the vow that I have made and the symbol that he's placed upon my head. God is with me, and that's the only reason why I can do what I can do. Yet there's Christians that have the Spirit of God in them that think that they're able to just do in this life whatever they're supposedly going to do. And the only thing that it depends on is that the will of God is going to be done in their life, because like Pastor Mike was mentioning before, that God is sovereign and he's just going to make it happen. But the things of God listen, there is not a single thing in the life of a Christian that is automatic, right? By doing nothing. That there is nothing outside of the listening and obedience of faith. There is nothing apart from obeying from the heart that will ever happen in the life of a Christian if not through that. There is nothing, never anything. There is nothing. None of the benefits or promises of God are a reality in the life of a Christian that refuses to listen, right? So if you hear what it is that the Lord continues to show us and to teach us, you know what is he saying? He's saying for you to learn to hear, listen to me, and just come to me and know all of the benefits that there is in just listen, in allowing the Lord to train your heart and your soul. Listen, please understand this. There is so much wrong with our thinking. It's not that there's a lot good with our thinking. There is so much wrong with the way that we think. There is so much wrong in the way that we think. We cannot sit back and think that there's a lot right in the way that we think and that we're actually on this side of the spectrum. No, we're on this side of the spectrum. There is so much wrong with the way that we think. And everything that is wrong with the way that we think will continue to flow from our heart into our lives and into the lives of other people. And the only way to stop that is to do one thing, is to listen to him. Listen, the people of this world, even the people of this world know, they believe that the things that happen in this world is of the heart. So that's why they're so into education and so into doing something with the mind, because they've come to understand at least this. The problem is not a physical problem that the world has. The problem is in the mind. None of the things, you know, I just had an individual come to me the other day. He was just delivering a package, and he started talking to me about how he, what he sees in all of the problems that are in the world. He says, I know couples that, you know, parents abusing their children, abusing animals, doing all of these things that are just unheard of things, right? And he says, you know, but like nothing can help them. He says, you know, I can't help them. Nothing can help them. And I said, you know what? You're right. There is really nothing in this world that can change the way that somebody thinks. Can we just do that? If you think with me for a second, there is not a single institution upon the face of the earth. There is not a person. There is not a profession. There is nothing at all in the entirety of this world, right, apart from the Spirit of God that can change the thoughts of a man, that can change the way a person thinks, right? Nothing, right? But, and we hold on the inside of us, right, the one that is able to take our heart and transform our thinking completely. Transform our thinking completely. So you know what God is trying to tell you? There is so much that needs to be done, right? And I believe with all my heart that this church and people from this church have been ordained by God, right, for the same task of reconciliation that every other believer has been tasked with. But we have this one unique leg up on something. Right. And I'm sure, I don't know that we're the only one. Right. But we have this one leg up, is that we understand our obedience. Right. You listen, you cannot come here for any length of time and not understand what your obedience is. And what that should do more and more as you hear it should put your deeds and your mind running around rampant, looking for a solution to rest, because you would know, you know what, Lord, I have found the way. I have found the solution. I have found the way of escape out of temptation. I have found the answer for my family. I have found the answer for my life. I have found, right? And Paul said that every single thing that he would look around, he said he would look at the things that he used to count as gain in his life. And he says, now he says, they're all loss. Let me show you that while we wrap up here. Let's go to, that's actually good. Let me just turn you, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 19. Actually, in verse number 18, it says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, right? Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. That's a person leaning on their own understanding, right? Vainly puffed up in their fleshly mind. And not holding, it says, and not holding the head, right? Do you see? You see that there is utmost, right, importance in us knowing that we do have a head, right? That we do have a head. That there is an order, right, to the way God does things, and we do have a head over us, right? And that in everything that we do and in everything that we're listening, the one that we're listening to is to him, because he is the one who is the head. And as we grow into him or hold, it says their problem was they weren't holding to him who is the head, from which all of the body, listen, the entirely every single Christian, from which all of the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase that is of God. Every single believer can only be nourished and kept in his heart. Every single believer can only grow in the increase that is of God and from God by one thing, by holding fast to him who is the head. There is a head over the church, people, right? There is a head over the body of Christ. And listen, as we acknowledge him, do you see what you're doing even in your acknowledgement of God? When you say, you know what, Lord, anything, whatever, in all of your ways, regardless of what you're doing, you just acknowledge the Lord. What are you doing? You're holding fast to him. You're not leaning to your own understanding. You're not trying to figure it out. You're not pressuring you with things that are too big for you anyway, right? But instead, what you're doing is you're saying, Lord, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you, Lord, in all of my ways. And you know what he'll do? It's such a perfect setup, right? You acknowledge him. He knows what you need to hear, when you need to hear it, and how you need to hear it. He knows everything that is the matter with the souls of men. He knows what's in the heart of a man, right? He knows what's in the heart, and he knows what's wrong with it. He knows what ails the man from the root of the issue, right? But instead, listen, do you see how absurd it is to search your own mind when you say, Lord, what can I do? What you're doing is you're frantically searching your mind. You're not acknowledging him. You're just frantically searching your mind for an answer. What can I do, Lord? Is there something that I can do? How can I fix this, Lord? Look at what happened. You must see, Lord, what's going on. What can I do, Lord? I can't hear, right? So you're frantically searching your mind for an answer, and you're looking all about, and you're finding what? Nothing. Nothing. You know why? Because there is nothing. There's nothing but emptiness in the life of a person who doesn't listen. Apart from listening to God, that's why he said you can't do anything. It's just empty. It's futile. It's vain. It's ridiculous. It won't go anywhere. It'll never accomplish nothing. You'll be running on a treadmill forever and going nowhere, right? But listen to what he says. But if you do just one thing, he says, if you listen. If you listen to me, if you come to me and you let me teach and you learn of me, right? Then you know what it does? He's taken, listen, then there's no fear then. Isn't it interesting that the Samson's hair did not grow back? Yet while he was tied up in chains with his eyeballs plucked out of his head. Listen to me, please. Understand this, right? This is not a fairy tale of Jack and the Beanstalk. This is a man that lived that had his eyes gouged out because of his insensibility to be able to hear the voice of God. He died a horrible death, and other people died as a consequence of his inability to judge correctly, right? And what happened? That happened. This is a real man that lived and died, right? And the reason why it happened to him is because he wouldn't hear. Because he was so vainly puffed up in this fleshly mind and allowed a woman to tempt him and said everything to her, right? But what did he say in his last day? He said, Lord, he said that you would come and empower me once more, that he would be able to take a victory over the Philistines, which is what God called that man to do, to be a judge and protect the people of Israel from this Philistine, right? And what happened? He fell with them, but power came to him and it wasn't from his hair. Listen, a Nazarite, when his vow was over, he would stand in the doorway of the tabernacle and would shave all of his hair off, and then it would be burned, right? Right? That was the end of his separation. The end of his vow would be fulfilled, right? Well, this man, right, without having his vow fulfilled, in other words, without the work being done, without the work being finished, his hair was shaven off. So what that means that his vow ended prematurely, right? And there are many, many people that they say they love God and their lives end prematurely. And we may sit here and think, you know what? It's not a big deal. I don't even see why there's so much excitement about this, because what's a big deal about listening to God is that people don't finish. They don't finish. They stop and they don't finish. Why don't they finish? Because they don't listen to the Lord. They're not taught to listen to the Lord. And if they're taught to listen to the Lord, they stop. It is a big deal to listen to God. It's a big deal. You can't do anything more important in your life. There is not a single solitary thing that you can do as a teenager, as a young adult, as an adult. There's nothing you can do for your life or greater for your children. There is nothing greater than we can do than listening to him, because everything in your life will flow out of your heart. Out of your heart flow the issues of life. Everything in your life will flow from your heart. There is nothing that does not flow from your heart, right? Everything that happens in this world happens because it's coming out of the heart of man. Whether that be ignorance coming out or the power of God coming out, everything is flowing from the heart of a man. So if you look at it and you said, Lord, what is the obedience that's left? Is the obedience that's left for me is for me to try to be a good person? Is the obedience that's left for me is for me to be a good dad? Is the obedience that left for me is for me to provide for my family? Is the obedience that you want from me? Lord, what do you want from me? Do you want me to be a good Christian? Do you want me to help my kids? What is it you want from me? Do you want me to be able to provide everything that they need? Do you want me to buy a new house? Is it for me to buy a new car for my husband? What is the obedience that's left? Lord, what are you looking for me to do? Are you looking for me to do this? Are you looking for me to do that? And we spend aimless hours and years of human lives trying to fulfill all of this obedience, and God wants none of it. None of it. He wants none of that obedience. Please understand this. Let us not be foolish people to think that you do good things and God somehow, you know what? I'll take that for now. I mean, it's not the best of what I want from you, but I will take, because you are trying your best. I see that, right? That's stupid. That's not true. That's dumb.
God doesn't see your deeds and say somehow he's sort of halfway pleased with the job that you're doing, because after all, you are doing the best that you can, and somehow takes pity upon you. No, there is one thing, there is one head. Everything works through that head. If we negate that head, there is nothing that works. This is so black and white, and there is absolutely no gray in this, right? If we don't listen to him who is the head, nothing good happens. Nothing good happens. Nothing good happens. You know what happens? People die. That is the truth. People will die, and things will continue to happen over and over again in this world, uncontrollably, right? As though death reigns, as though it does, even though it doesn't have to. Things will continue to happen uncontrollably, because we will think that all we have to do is attend church and do these few things, because after all, it's not really about listening to you, Lord. It's not really about listening to you. You are somehow really some, you are somewhat impressed with what I do, right? The same man that was telling me that there was no hope, you know what he was saying? He told me a little story, how he shared some tomatoes, right? How he shared some tomatoes with a Jewish woman. And how that Jewish woman came, right, afterwards and brought her children to see his garden. And then afterwards, she saw his garden, they stayed and they ate and they were married together. You know what that man accomplished? Absolutely nothing with his deeds. He did nothing. He feels great about what he did and he accomplished nothing. He feels great. Listen, somebody has to tell somebody that that doesn't matter, right? Because people think it matters. And not only do they think it matters, they think it matters to him. They think it matters to the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and he could care less about that stuff, right? There's one obedience that he's looking for. You know how awesome it is that God asks for one thing, and that's the one thing people don't do? The one thing. One thing. He, listen to me. Just listen. I mean, you tell your children, you know what? We live on a busy street. Don't go crossing that street. If you seek, don't do it. You got to listen to me. But they could do all the other things right, right? They could please you. They can cook you breakfast. They can bring out the garbage. They can do all of these things. But you want them to listen to you because you don't want them to die. But you, all these things, they just want to please mom and dad. But the one thing that you tell them to do is listen to me so you don't die. So they do all these things for years, and then they don't listen, and they cross, and they're dead, right? So the example is not about death, because that doesn't have to occur. It's just that point. These things don't have to happen to people. Samson did not have to die. The people in Hebrews chapter 11 did not have to die. Your family members don't have to die, but they don't know. So they die, right? How important is it? People don't know, so they die. But we that know, we got better things to do, you know, because, you know, after all, you can't be acknowledging God all day long, you know. It's not really about listening. I mean, I hear you preach about listening to God, but it really can't be that. But listen to what the thing is that here's how it works. If you hear, then someone else will hear. If you hear, someone else will hear. And if you don't hear, no one else will hear. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear? And a preacher is not talking about me, even though I am one, right? But a preacher is talking about a herald, anyone that will speak, that the Spirit of God will speak through them. That is a shortfall, right? For people not to hear, listen, if people aren't hearing, it's because the Spirit of God is not speaking through Christians. What we're saying is, listen to me, it is a big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. It's important to hear. It's important to always be encouraged in the same way. Why? Why is it important for you to be here, to be encouraged in the same way? Because you're discouraged in every single way. I can guarantee you that the 90th percentile, if not more, of everything that you listen to outside of here goes against what's said here. The 90th percentile of what you spend your day listening to and hearing, voluntarily, mind you, and you pay for it too. What you pay to hear, the majority of what you pay to hear, goes contrary to what the Lord says, right? So how important is it? How important it is to hear, and how important is it to be encouraged to continue to hear? Samson did not have to die. He didn't have to die. The plan of God for that man was not death. And the plan of God, listen, God is a God of life. That's why he said that through Jesus, you know what he came to bring? Life and life abundantly. And you may say, you know what? Well, isn't it people's choice to listen to? Yes. It is their choice to listen. It is their, but so it's not about a guilt trip for us to be able to say, if people are dying around us, then it's our fault.
But don't forget this, though, that it is surely to their benefit that you hear. It is surely to their benefit that you hear. It's just an important thing to say, right? Our hearing benefits the world that we live in. Not just us. It benefits the world that we live in. And the plan of God is that we would hear so that others can hear. That's not a hard thing, right? The plan of God, right, in everything is Christ. Paul said this. Paul said this, that he was ready to go, that the Lord was showing that it was his time, that he was ready to go. I shouldn't even say like that it was his time, but that he was going. But he said, but you know, I understand though that it is good, right? It's a good thing for me to be able to be with the Lord. But he said, but it's more profitable for you that I remain. Do you understand that for him to remain was for the benefit, right? The benefit of what the Spirit of God would do through him. The benefit of what the Spirit of God would do through him, right? And the only thing in that, right? It doesn't change. It doesn't change what it is that God wants or how he does it. It's just listening. Listen, I know we would like to just, you know, throw up our hands and say, you know what? It really doesn't matter anyway. You know what? I'm just going to worry about me, myself. And, you know, I got a relationship with God. You know, that's so dry. And that's so nothing, right? I have what is that? When people say that, well, you know, like they have a relationship with God. What is that? What is a relationship with God of somebody that you don't listen to? Right? That's nothing, right? Right? If you say you have a relationship with somebody, but you don't listen to them, especially when we're talking about the Spirit of God on the inside of us, all that we're saying is that we're falling short of where we could be. We're falling short of where we could be in our lives. If we would give, take some of the importance right now, and it'll grow, but some of the importance that we place in the things of this world, and just acknowledge the Lord with some of that importance, right? Instead of placing importance and weight on what you can do and how you've been able, you know, because let's say you've been successful in how you've been doing things for years, right? You think that you've been a good thing, whatever that title is, a good thing by the way that you've done. You know, by your own estimation, you've been good at this, right? By your own estimation, you've been good at this. If you could see and count that as dung, right? If you could look at what you've done and allow the Lord to speak to you and show you all that he's done in you, it would look, it would smell, and it would taste like dung, right? Because it's nothing. It's nothing. It's garbage. It's refuse, right? But you know what? If what you would continue to see would be the excellence that there is in knowing him. The excellence that there is in knowing him. Listen, there's nothing else to leave today with, right? There's only one thing that the Lord continues to speak to our heart, right? He's made a covenant with us, that is a covenant of the heart. And all he says, right, that our part in that covenant is of the heart, is to love him with all our heart.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.